NITV Radio, on radio, online and mobile.
Okay, Nookie, thanks for joining me, Braz.
Cheers, Braz.
For those that don't know you, tell us who you are and where you're from.
I'm from Nowra. Name's Nookie, and I rap from time to time.
From time to time. Do a pretty good job of it, too. So today we're talking about hip-hop, and particularly around Aboriginal hip-hop, and yep. I guess the impact that's had on our mob and our communities, and to bed down and why it's so important for our people, particularly in this day and age. So the first question is, what is Aboriginal hip-hop, and how's it different from, say, Black American hip-hop?
So, so Aboriginal hip-hop is our hip-hop. It's our story, and that's what makes it different to the hip-hop in America, to the Australian hip-hop here. Like, end of the day, it's all hip-hop music, you know, but, like, that's our story there. That's what makes us unique, because no one's got our story. That's what differentiates it from, yeah.
When you say our story, what do you mean?
You know, just being the oldest surviving culture in the world, you know. They threw genocide at us, but black fellas were stubborn and, yeah, still here. So it's that and what we go through on a day-to-day basis, you know, the racism we face in Australia and just life growing up, you know, as black fellas, you know, riding around in Tarragos, packed out, you know, eating Devon and chip sandwiches and all that type of stuff, yeah.
What is it about hip-hop that sort of, I guess, first drew you in, you know? Like, what was it when you first listened to a song or something that just went, I want to do that? And I guess, who influenced you the most, both in America and here in Australia?
So when I heard Fuck the Police, I was just like, oh, you can say that. So yeah, that's what it was for me. It was that defiance and that being able to stand up and say what you feel. So that's what drew me into it. Yeah, and then as I got older, I kind of really grew an appreciation for rap and the way they play with words and wordplay and that type of stuff. Song structures, how to write a song and things like that. So for me, what drew me into hip-hop was the defiance and the way you can tell stories through that medium. And then the biggest influences would be my cousin Ryan Selway, passed away. I wouldn't be rapping if it wasn't for him. He got me into it. Like, everything Ryan done, I wanted to do. So when he started rapping, I wanted to start rapping. And like, he taught me one of the most important lessons I've ever learned in life, and I live my life by that, was when I wrote my first song, and this was like early 2000s, so I was listening to like a lot of 50 Cent, G-Unit, Little John and all that. So when I went to write my first song, I was trying to emulate what they do. So I wrote my verse and I sent it to my cousin on MSN. This back in the days,
where back now,
all these the little SoundCloud rappers, or the Little Pumps and all those guys. I don't know about MSN, but yeah, so I sent my cousin my first verse on MSN, and he hit me straight back. He goes, "Cuz, I've got to be honest with you, that was shit." And that rocked me, eh? I was like, "Cuz, it took me hours to think of that. What do you mean it was shit? I sat there and thought about it for ages." Yeah. And he goes, "That's where you went wrong." He goes, "You thought about it. When you write music, you gotta speak from the heart." And then so just got that little tattoo there, speak from the heart. So mm-hmm. That's whenever I'm performing, holding the mic in the left hand, so that's something I'm always gonna carry with me. So yeah, he was hands down my biggest influence when it comes to music.
Must have shadowed you, eh? Big cuz there telling you that was shit.
Yeah. It was the best lesson. Like, I live my whole life by that now. Like, if it's not coming from the heart, I'm not gonna talk.
Yeah.
And then other big influences for me, people like Pemulwuy, Chicka Dixon, Charlie Perkins. See, it was that defiance. Mm. So
it's not just hip-hop artists that were your survivors or your influences, local community mob.
Yeah, that was the biggest influence, because like, when I heard about Pemulwuy, I wanted to be Pemulwuy.
Yeah.
Same way that Charlie done, I wanted to do that, so I needed to find my way to do it, and then hip-hop was my way to do it. Yeah.
Can you remember the first ever hip-hop song you listened to?
Yeah, so there's a few like different stages, I'd say, of like the first time of hearing it, but like the first time I remember listening to hip-hop was the first song was I'll Be Missing You, P. Diddy. just watching mum clean the house, dancing around to that. And then, you know, getting into the early teen years, like 12, 13, might have been next episode,
mm-hmm.
Dre and Snoop. And that was just because one of the boys goes, oh, look, these lads, they smoke weed every day. Mm. And then that's all it was. So it was those two were the first ones.
The Defiance.
Ones. Yeah. And then Fuck the Police not too long after that. Mm. Yeah.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
They say like hip-hop's the voice of the oppressed, right?
Yeah.
In America. Does that sort of resonate with you, how it's a voice for the voiceless?
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Mm. Yep. Yeah, I feel like that's what it is. Just a, yeah. Aboriginal people were shut out of a lot of things, but, you know, we're black fellas, so that storytelling, that rhythm, that's always in us. So, like, just rap naturally. Mm. Yeah.
How do we fuse our Aboriginal culture and who we are and what we do every day into a music genre? Well, you touched on it before, we tell our stories, there's a storytelling element, but I guess from your own perspective as an artist and a very proud UN man, you know, how do you fuse the two and make them work together?
So fusing the two is not something like, I don't go out of my way to do it, if that makes sense. The way I do it is like, I'm a product of my community, you know? I am Nowra. I reflect my community. Nowra is me. So whenever I'm doing anything, Nowra's doing it. Yuen's doing it. So when I'm rapping, it's automatically that's, I'm reflecting how I grew up and what I've seen and how I live. So it's automatically there without even trying to do it. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's how we fuse it. Like just being real to yourself is how we fuse it, because it's all gonna come out in the music, you know. If you're real and you're talking about what you go through and what you've been through, then boom, it's done.
Yeah. What I was gonna say now, what inspires you or triggers, can you give me an example where you get triggered an idea to write a song?
Yeah.
You know, it could be a political event or something with your family or whatever, you know, but
yeah.
Is it something you can remember that's like, oh, and just how that process happens in your head as an artist?
Like how I look at it is just like, the spirits tell you what to say, if that makes sense. It's just like a lot of my best stuff, I'll just wake up in the middle of the night and I just know what to say. It's like the old lads are telling me what to say. Yeah. So this comes through. But then, yeah, there's certain moments that kind of, you just see things and they inspire you and you draw things together, and that's how you make your references and your songs. Like I worked on a song with Jim Blah a few years ago. We'd done like a remake of Treaty. And the line was, all this anger inside has got me feeling like crashing the freedom ride into the side of Parliament. And that's, you know, that's a powerful line. And for me to this day, that's one of my most favorite rhymes that I've ever wrote. But the inspiration behind that was like, definitely, you know, the freedom rides. But then what made me write that is that I woke up, as I said, I woke up mad early in the morning. It was like 1:32, clicked on the news and it was sad, but there was a bus crash there. And then by seeing that, it just gave me this imagery of like, at the time there was a lot of stuff going on. I was feeling a bit angry. I was like, you know what? What if I take like a very powerful, proud moment and reflect on it today? Because, you know, that brought about some change, but what's going on right now? So I'll like flip it, you know, and so I'll take the freedom rides, I'll crash it into Parliament and then see what they want to change, you know? So that's how that one came about.
Because I think sometimes there might be a misunderstanding out there that hip hop's just people speaking and yarning and,
yeah.
But I understand now there's a very high intellect that goes with it in the way that you tell your stories and weave them together. And you said there's tricks with your play on words,
yeah.
And how you bend words and reshape them and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that process of how you just come up with it. And it's one of the things that blew me away when we did the Change the Date track with you and Tassie.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Kayla and Birds, just how you guys come up with your own verses.
Yeah.
And how like deep and powerful, but just super smart that was. Like,
yeah.
Is that something that comes naturally, or is it you got to study and you got to work hard and do it?
Yeah, to get to that point, you really got to study and work on it. Like, you look at the people that are the best at that. Like, Eminem's really good at it. Biggie was good with the flows, like putting multiple syllables into the one flow and stuff. So you really got to study the craft to be able to do that. But yeah, the wordplay element is something I really focus on. Like, I released a song a few years ago called The Greatest. And when I wrote that song, I was like, all right, I'm really going to put on for Nowra right now. I'm really going to represent. But it's about showing the good and the bad.
Yeah.
So for me growing up, I really only felt like it was either it was football or jail. And you know, I played football, I was alright, but I wasn't the best, you know. Yeah, so when I wrote the song The Greatest, I said, we can choose deaf football or sell bars, cuz not me, I sell bars, cuz, which was like, you know, it's like, I chose my own thing, rap. And the sell bars was like, you know, for the non-rappers out there, bars is like the song. It's the raps, the actual raps, you call it the bars.
Yeah.
So I was like, you end up in sell bars, or I go sell bars. So like that's, you know, I focus on the wordplay a lot. Mm. Yeah.
You're with NITV Radio.
That's clever, man. It's one of the things I love about hip hop is the wordplay, and it goes back to the little storytellers that we are inside, you know.
Yeah.
So I just think there's that magic connection from our ancient storytellers to you fellas now doing your things, and even other poets and spoken word artists all do it, you know. It's just, it's a real skill.
Yeah, yeah.
Hip-hop as a genre in music.
Yep.
Why is it so popular in our communities and our mob, and particularly our young people? I know a lot of elders were against it back in the day, a lot of, you know, in some places, but yeah, it's just such a universal sort of beast, hip hop, and
yeah,
I find particularly that black people are just drawn to it.
Yeah, it's the
you know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What do you think?
It's the new country western in our communities. I'm the black Johnny Cash.
Mm.
Yeah, it's just it speaks. It's not even the youth, because you know I'm not. I think I'm just out of the youth category now.
You're getting old, bro.
Yeah, getting there. I'm getting on. It's just the way it really captures the time that it's in. Like, hip-hop always grows. You know, the 90s had a certain sound, the 2000s had a certain sound, there's a certain sound now which always captures that moment and what's going on and the sounds of that moment. So it always, it just keeps going, you know. Like, the younger kids, they like their hip-hop sound in a certain way, and the older guys like their sound in a certain way. So it always has the ability to just capture that age group, that demographic there. And it's just about, yeah, some people like it just strictly for the beats of it, for the music. And you know, as I said, black fellas, we just got this, we can all dance. So it's like when they hear that beat, you know, it grabs them. There's other ones that are like me that like the messages of it, the defiance of it, the way they're speaking. So like, there's just so many elements in there that appeal to the audience, which is why it grabs on. I think a few generations up from me, it might be a little bit too fast for them, but once you sit down and tell them it's the new country western, then yeah, they get it.
Yeah. Do you think hip-hop's political?
Yeah.
Does it have to be?
No, it doesn't have to be. Like, it all has its place in hip-hop. Like, if you want to, it's a political message. If it's just about having a good time, like, it all has its place, yeah. And it's up to the artist, like, what they decide to do, and up to the listener on which one they want to listen to. It can be both, yeah.
Now, hip-hop can be used as a bit of a vehicle for social change as well.
Yeah.
In the way we do things, and we touched on a bit the Change the Date track that we did a couple of years ago, you know, to start a national conversation. But hip-hop as a vehicle, what would you like to see it achieve or do for our communities, our people? In the way that it's, you know, similar to the way it's used in America to fight against racism or for civil rights.
Like, in our community, it's just to give an outlet, because that's what I found the best about it. Like, for me, if I was angry, I'd write a song. If I was sad, I'd write a song. If I was happy, I'd write a song. So it was just something for me to channel my emotions into. So yeah, for me, just open up a new lane, another choice.
Sounds like a bit of therapy, like a bit of cell therapy too, you know? Sort of get that out of you.
Well, like, was when I recorded my first song, I was going through some shit at school that day, and I decided, I've had enough, I'm going home. So I grabbed my bag, and not long before that, my cousin Selway, like, he made me a bunch of beats on a CD, and I used to just take it everywhere and listen to it. So this day, I said, right, I'm going home. I start walking home, and they just built a little youth centre there in Nowra, and it had a music studio in it. So I walked in, and the engineer was sitting in there, and he said, oh, do you want to make a song? I said, oh, yeah, why not? So I chucked my little CD with the beats on, and I wrote my first song. All I said was F and C, but when I finished, I felt a lot better, you know?
Yeah.
And I was back at the youth centre the next day, the next day, the next day, and until I wasn't a youth anymore.
Yeah.
Which was last year.
But it was a good mechanism for you to get that frustration out, you know?
And yeah.
Not bottling it up, hey?
Yeah, that's it.
I've seen a lot of young fellas that have that medium to be able to express themselves.
Yeah, it was healing, yeah.
As a hip-hop artist, what legacy do you hope to leave behind? So when you hang the mic back in the mic holder when you're old and grey there, still spitting bars.
Yeah.
But what sort of legacy do you hope for you individually as an artist that you leave?
For me individually, look, I want to go down with Charlie and that. I want to go down with Pemulwuy. Like, you know, when I've had my time, when I'm done, I just want to be up there with them. But, like, the biggest thing for me too, like, a legacy I want to leave behind is I want to go back to Nowra and start, like, my own youth centre type thing, but where it just focuses on arts and black excellence, on getting our kids through doing things, whether they want to be dancers, singers, actors, rappers, like, have that space there for them. And, so that's my end goal, is to, you know, go back to my community and give them everything they gave me, because I wouldn't have done half the stuff if I didn't grow up in Nowra and had those experiences, you know. So for me, it's about going back to where you come from and giving back and letting the next ones come through. Yeah.
That's a nice way to end it, bro.
Yeah. Cheers.
Thanks, my man.
Easy, boss. Cheers.
This was an NITV radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.